We are joined by Damaris Miller from Troy for Black Lives, here to talk about the Edson Thevenin family settlement and their documentary animation currently in development called They're Getting Away with Murder. Here's a clip from the trailer.
And when you see all these incidents, one after another, around the country, you must have to then think about your son's death as well, right?
Exactly. The only difference with Joy Floyd and all the others is my son's death was not videotaped. It wasn't in social media. But if it was videotaped, the way French murdered my son, it would have been the same thing.
So Damaris, you're working on this production, They're Getting Away with Murder. Can you tell us about your documentary animation?
As we heard from Miss Gertha Depas, Edson's mother, one of the central limitations of this case is that there wasn't a clear video of what happened. And so Miss Gertha feels, and I agree, that if there was a clear video of what happened, people would see how unjustified French was in murdering Edson. And so when I got to know Miss Gertha last year during the trial of former DA Joel Abelov, it became really clear that we wanted people to know what happened instead of what the city officials are telling them what happened. And since there isn't a video, the idea came that we could make one using animation to reconstruct the details based on the evidence that has been collected over time.
And Damaris, you're working in collaboration, not only with Troy for Black Lives, but your sibling to make this happen. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I personally am not an animator or an illustrator, but my brother Elias Miller is an incredible illustrator and animator and agreed to team up with me on this project. So we've been directing it together and Elias has been doing all of the animation and illustration and sound design.
It not only goes into what happened the night of April 17, 2016, but also goes into who Edson Thevenin was in his community and his family. Can you tell us a little bit of the arc of the documentary itself?
It's really important to me to show that what happened to Edson has happened to countless people, countless Black people who have been murdered by police. And so to show that when somebody is murdered by a police officer, you know, we see the hashtags, maybe we see the video, but so often we lose the context of what that person meant to the people around them, all the relationships they held that were shattered in that moment, all the, services and support that they were offering to their friends, to their neighbors, to their community. And so we start by just getting to meet Edson as Miss Gertha, his mother, describes him. And then we learn about what happened to him, the events that leading up to French killing him, and then the cover up. So we haven't actually animated this part yet, but our goal is to also include in the animation the details surrounding the official cover up of the murder, the bearing of evidence by the DA, Joel Abelov at the time, by Mayor Madden, by the Troy City Council, as well as the subsequent trial of Joel Abelov when the state attorney general charged him with perjury and official misconduct. And then we didn't want to leave it on that note. We also really wanted to show that we as a community are resisting the system already. And so we wanted to represent the movement that we have going to support Black life in Troy, as well as our vision, you know, where we are going. So many people here defund the police, but they don't understand or don't pay as much attention to what we mean by that, which is investing in Black communities, investing in the services and the support that will actually make Black people feel safe in our city.
And the film is They're Getting Away with Murder. That's its title. And it's still in production. Do you know when it'll be out?
Well, I will say first, They're Getting Away with Murder is a working title for the project right now. Because sometimes what it feels like that they're getting away with it. But of course, in making this film, in all the organizing that we've been doing, we're trying to stop them. We're making sure that they can't get away with this murder. And so we've been questioning the title around, does it really encompass the whole complete vision for this project? So just noting that the name might change in the future, we are currently fundraising to complete the film. We've animated and completed the first part of it, but it is a 5-part series. And so folks can support our work by going to joyforblacklives.com/donate. Just having faith that the resources will come through. We're hoping to have the animation complete by the 6th anniversary of Edson's death next year on April 16th.
Thanks for that, Damaris. And so in terms of news around what's been happening, there was just a settlement agreed on between the city and Edson Thevenin's widow, Cynthia, and a lot of the community was really upset by the memo that is attached to the settlement and showed up to voice their opposition before the city council finance meeting last Thursday. Can you just tell us a little bit of a recap of what you know what happened and what, if anything, is planned before the September 9th full committee vote on the settlement?
So just to back up a little bit, I wanted to name that the city has spent the last, 5 years up until this point trying to get the case dismissed and was effectively unsuccessful in getting the case dismissed, had to go through 2 different courts who both ruled that essentially the facts were not indisputable enough for them to make a decision to dismiss the case, that the facts were in dispute enough that a jury needed to determine what actually happened and who's at fault. And so instead of going to trial, the city and Ms. Cynthia Thevenin have now come to a settlement. And as Short for Black Lives, we are definitely in solidarity with Ms. Cynthia. We respect her decision. I personally have not lost somebody to police violence, so I cannot imagine the pain of having to go through this litigation for years and facing so much pushback at every single stage. At the same time, the settlement does not require the city of Troy to admit any wrongdoing or take responsibility. It also heavily implies, at least in the statement that was made to the Troy City Council, heavily puts the blame on Edson instead of acknowledging the discrepancies in French's testimony, the way that French's testimony is not consistent with the physical evidence. And also ignoring the 2 reports that have already been put out, one by the Troy Police Department itself, another by the State Attorney General, which both ruled and concluded that the shooting was unjustified. And yet the city appears to be very much trying to push through the settlement as though the shooting was justified and that the city committed no wrongdoing in covering up and burying the evidence and supporting the people involved basically in not having to take accountability for their roles. So what we are really trying to do before September 9th is just to, as much as possible, get as many people as possible to be able to understand the facts of the case and not the spin or the narrative that's being presented. Ms. Gertha Depas, I spoke to her earlier this morning and she really wanted to emphasize that if it had been her decision, she would have wanted to go to trial, not for greater monetary damages, but because of how important it is to her that the public see the facts themselves and have the chance to make their own determination about what happened. Because as I found, once you see the actual evidence, you see the physical evidence, you hear the testimonies, it becomes extremely clear very quickly that French lied. And, there's not evidence for that covers all of his testimony. So we don't know exactly what he did and didn't lie about, but it's very clear that he lied in some parts of his testimony and that it wasn't a clear-cut case of Edson being armed.
Which is what the memo says, is that he's armed with his vehicle in the memo that goes along with the settlement, which is, for those close to this, very painful to read. Corporation Counsel Richard Morrissey said that he took responsibility for writing that memo and that he believes those are the facts, but that becomes quite complicated, both when D'Amique McDonald was shot and not killed, and Edson Thevenin was shot and killed. They use this sort of vehicle as a weapon, which is quite complicated in these cases to put that forward as facts.
In the memo, he says that it's indisputable that Edson was armed with a car. And despite the fact that now multiple federal judges have ruled that it's not indisputable at all, it's actually up to a jury. It's not up to the city's lawyer to determine that. It's actually up to a jury. But because of the settlement, we won't look at the evidence and decide as the people what actually happened. Instead, we just have words from lawyers who are obviously going to want to protect their client.
So Damaris, is there anything that you want to make sure at this point our audience really understands about this case? You know, one thing that comes to my mind is when Jessica Ashley was giving her comment before city council, she was like, no one has apologized to the family. You heard Gertha crying in the background saying that that was true. And Richard Morrissey kind of roundaboutly gave an apology toward the end. But do you think an apology is important for the city to give to the family?
There can't be healing and closure without accountability. And that begins with taking responsibility for the role that the city has played in perpetuating the harm of the Thevenin family and apologizing to them for that role, for sure. Will an apology end this system of police violence and racism? Obviously not. And which is why we demand really an apology is accompanied by policy changes that ensure transparency, ensure accountability going forward, so that what happened to Edson Thevenin doesn't happen to anybody else in this city. What happened to Dominique McDonald never happens to anybody else in the city. And that is what we do not see anything in this settlement. Nothing in the settlement protects the Black people of Troy. It only protects the city officials and the people who are actually responsible for the cover-up in the first place.